I know, Brother Victor, you've got the, speaking, and I think Sister Santana's got the moderating, so you guys just go ahead. Just be listening in. God bless you.
So we are looking this morning at the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. And I would like start off first with the purpose of this ministration is to just reiterate among ourselves that we have the Word of God as a kingdom people, or as that kingdom people, and we have to continually, reiterate within our hearts, among ourselves, in this house of faith, in our faith work, in our families, in everything we do, that we have it. We have the power of the Word with us. Just like I sang in that last song, that we are what God says we are. We are not losers. We are what God says we are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the scriptures that I just wrote down are scriptures that reiterate and reaffirm what the Word of God is. That is just simply what I wanted to share this morning, what the Word of God is. And I want to start first to say that the Word of God is highly magnified. That is in Psalms 138, verse 2. I will be opening to these verses are already ready. It's just for me to open to them. The Bible says here, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. So if the Word of God is highly magnified, that is what we have, ladies and gentlemen. So again, anytime I'm bringing those verses, I would always redirect us to that song, because we are a kingdom people, and then we are people of the kingdom. We are, made from heaven, assembled here on earth, and we are here to take that dominion in our dominion mandates as it were in Genesis 1:28. Let me read that one. And it says, and God blessed them. This scripture is to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that God blessed them, meaning Adam and Eve, and we are from that lineage. He blessed them and he said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Number 4, subdue it. Number 5, have dominion. So that's our dominion mandate. In our dominion mandate, because we are people of the kingdom, we must always realize that what we carry is power. So that is the basis of this ministration, just to reiterate these things. We know these things already. It's just for us to sort of do a brush over again to note that we got it. We got the power. So if God's word is highly magnified, God has magnified his word above his name. That one, Psalms 138:2. That magnified. Then the next one is for us to go to Hebrews 4 verse 12. If God has magnified his above his name, there is power in it. There is a reason why. It's because his word will not falter. His word will not fail. When we, speak it into our life, when we speak into our situations, because we are winners. So as I'm ministering in this ministration this morning, I would like to always refer back to that song, that we are winners, we are not losers. So just to reiterate, as we brush over these things again, that way we can know who we are in Christ and whose we are not losers. No matter what situation you may be going through, brothers and sisters, what each of our families may be going through, each of us as an individual may be going through in our marriages, in our finances, in our businesses, in our, sometimes even in our health, in our, relationships, no matter what situation we may be in currently in, the Word of God is power. We carry something that if we speak it into our situations, those situations, they must respond. Because what we got is power. It's not just, letters. The Bible would say that, that the letter killeth. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 3:6, I think. that the letter clear, but the spirit gives life. The spirit gives life. Which spirit? The spirit that bathed the world that we got. So ladies and gentlemen, please let us reiterate this morning so that we can know who we are again and whose we are. We can speak it. When we speak it, it's like we are speaking God into the situation. So I will get to that on the third one, that the word of God is God himself. But let me take this next one, is the word of God is quick and powerful. Let's look at that one. That one is in Hebrews 4. Okay, let me see. Hebrews 4, verses 12. Yes, it says here, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Okay, is quick and powerful and sharper than every two-edged sword. Okay, it pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if the word of God is quick and powerful, it is sharper. It's like a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joint and of the marrow. It can discern the thoughts and the intent of our heart. So if it can, this verse is a lot of things loaded here to break it down into little chunks to explain. So just to save time, let me take that last part of it. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of our heart. If the thought and the intent of our heart does not align with the will of God for us, God's word that we have can change it. We can use the word of God to decipher the right thoughts, to think through and design things correctly. The thing that doesn't, correspond with God's will for my life. Just because we are going through a certain situation, ladies and gentlemen, a certain feeling. We are not people of feeling. We are a kingdom people. Therefore, we are people of the spirit. It's not by feeling. I don't, there's that song that says that I'm not moved by my feeling. It says that I'm not moved by what I feel. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I hear. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. I'm only moved by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We are not moved by feelings. We are not moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we hear. All those things are things that could affect our thought, can come into our heart. But God's word is the standard. That is the gold standard of our living. We are only moved by what God sees. So that's why when we speak it into situation, we are literally speaking God into it. If you look at that in John chapter number 1, the Bible says, "For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay, the same. Okay, verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made." So whenever we are speaking God's word into situations, it's because we don't want to be moved by what we see, or by what we feel, by what we are hearing, by what is currently happening. All those things can come and discourage us, can be very discouraging. However, we know whose we are and who we are, and we got the power in the word. We got the power. We can speak it into that situation of ours that we are currently going through. We can speak it into that feeling that we are feeling. I don't like this feeling, just like in a literal sense. I don't like the way I feel, but it's good. Those senses that we have, they are not bad. They are there. God gave it to us to live by them, all our five senses, to give us clue of what might be going on. However, even though medical science, they are good things, something could be happening in our bodies that the senses would pick up. And then we would then, it will trigger something. But then if it triggers something, And then, we do medical checkups. We do all those things to stay, you know, to keep our health going. Every year, we do all our, our checkups, our annual checks, and also our regular checkups. We do exercises. The body says, the Bible says that bodily exercise profited but a little. All those things are good. However, the word of God supersedes them. The word of God supersedes them. We still have to do those things to maintain ourselves. Exercise, bodily exercise is in Timothy, where the Bible says that it profits but a little. I think it's 1 Timothy 4 or 5 or something like that is in the scriptures. So we can do all those things. Our senses can sense something. Something doesn't feel right. But that does not mean that, that thing must swallow us up. It is because the word of God that we have is power. So, and it's God himself. Like I cited that John 1 verse 1 to 2. So next, we can speak it into those situations. Those things must respond. They must bow and respond to what the word says. The word has a superior power over those situations. Depending on the faith that we have in us, according to the faith or the power that worketh in us, if we know what we are doing, we can speak into those feelings that we are feeling. Okay, someone can even be feeling depressed. Sometimes you will see that in the scriptures, a lot of, about four scriptures in Psalms, where Daddy David was like, why am I feeling like this? Why is my spirit disquieted within me? That was sort of feeling depressed, but he had to turn to the word. He began speaking the word into those situations, into that feeling. So what is this? That's why we are not moved by what we feel. What we feel should not come over what the word is. The power is in the word, and we got the power. We got the power. And the Bible, like I cited that 2 Corinthians 3:6, that it, you know, the power, the word of God that we have, is not just letters. There is a spirit inside it. So the spirit backed those words by inspiration. Therefore, if we speak it into those circumstances, into that feeling, into that situation, into everything that we are currently going through in our present life, those things must respond. But then if we have the faith for it, the faith, according to the power that works in us, they must respond. They must turn around for us. I just pray that God Almighty will enable those things that we are currently going through, every one of us on this platform. Perhaps our friends, perhaps our distant families, maybe going to something near family, nuclear family, our brethren, you know, neighbors, whoever we may know, we can, in prayer, in the place of prayer, speak what the word is saying into their situation. And those situations must respond. It must respond to it. They must respond. Whether they like it or not, they must bow. Because the word of God is powerful and it's quick. It's sharper. So that is the things that we know about the word. Then let's go to the next one. The word of God is incorruptible. Let us go to 1 Peter 1:23. The word of God is incorruptible. That one is, 1 Peter 1:23, and I will read that one. It shows here. It said that being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We can see that the word of God is so powerful that it makes people to become born again. So that is that right there. In the scriptures, it makes people to become born again. He has the ability to do it. So that's 1 Peter 1:23. Then let's go to the next one. The word of God is like an armor. Jeremiah 23:29. That one is just straight to the point. We don't have to go there. It's like the armor. Let me see. I think he said it breaks. 23:29. And it says here. Says that, that the word of God, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So the word of God is even like a fire. You can see there in that verse there, it's even like a fire. So if the word of God is like a fire, that means it can refine. It's like what the Bible calls the refiner's fire. Can refine, can burn that thing off, burn off that thing. That's why we speak it. We need to speak it more often into our situations. And anything that is contrary must get rid of it. Any hard situation, any rock that might stand, the superior rock, which is Christ himself. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 4. that superior rock comes in and break it, because it's like the word, it will break off all other, those mountains that may be surrounding us that is not according to the will of God. Zechariah 4, look at verse 7. You know, I'm just giving those verses there. Can break it. That mountain must bow, because the word of God, I will speak it into it, is not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I think it's verse 6 of that Zechariah 4. So ladies and gentlemen, the word, we got the power, but we have to speak it. We have to believe it. We have to have faith in it. We have to, because it endures forever. The word of God is established in heaven. And the Bible says, it's settled in heaven. It's settled, thy word is forever settled in heaven. But then we are the one to use it here on earth. Let's remember that we are assembled in heaven. We are made from heaven, assembled on the earth for us to be here to dominate in those five mandates. Therefore, we can speak it into that situation. We can speak it and they must respond, because what we got is power. Ladies and gentlemen, so that was the next one they can break. Then the next one is that the word of God that we are speaking is spirit and is life. That's in John 6:63. It is spirit and is life. Let me speak. He said, the word that I speak unto you, it is the spirit, okay, that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Ladies and gentlemen, we need more spirit and we need more life. We need, the abundant life, and we also need this, the eternal life. Yes. And then we need more spirit, because the more of it that we have. So in this house, we are really, this is a really rich house. You know, when we come here every day and listen to the ministration, we are adding more spirit into us and we are adding more life into us. So the word is spirit and it's life. So, you know, as I was there preparing this ministration, I said that I would look, when we get to the area of the different impression of the use of God's word, we will see that some people have experiential, ability of God's word. They experience it because they have built up their faith enough that when they speak into something, it happens. Of course, I'm not talking about the gift of the working of miracles that is in First Corinthians 12. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying some people, depending on how sharp they have been using the word of God, how they have been believing it, you know, they've been using it into, and they speak it. It might work faster than some people, depending on the faith that they have. Of obviously, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why this house is very, very rich. That's why it's a faith house. We come here to build up our faith many, many ways. One way is because it comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word. It's not by reading. It's not by studying. Reading, 1 Timothy 4:13 is till it comes, right? That's reading. Studying, 2 Timothy 2:15, I think, is to rightly divide the word. That's separate. But the hearing part of it, ladies and gentlemen, is why we build our faith. Because when we can build our faith, we will know what we got to speak the power of the word into those situations. I just pray that every one of us that will continue to know who we are in Christ, because we are a people of that kingdom. We can use what we have, and the Lord will continue to change those circumstances, those situations that we are, that we may be currently going through. Sometimes one may be on a particular prayer of using the word, speaking the word for like a week. Sometimes maybe 1 month, sometimes maybe 6 months, continually speaking that word, continually speaking that word. We will see how that, in Isaiah 34, I think, how that the word of the Lord came to Hezekiah. That he was going to, I think it's verse 6 in that chapter, that he was going to be taken, or that he was going to die and not live. The man of God faced the word and began speaking God's word to him. Let's notice that he was, because God is a righteous judge. It's a just God. So he began speaking, is this how I'm going to be? Would this be the end of my life? He began speaking, We didn't know how long it took for him to continue to speak back to God. So therefore, we can speak God's word back to him, even though we are using it to speak into the circumstances in our current life, in every situation, dynamics that we find ourselves, intersectionalities that we are in. Yes, we can do that, speak it into those, but we can then also speak it back to him, because that is also another level of faith. We are speaking, Lord, but you said it in your word, because you want to appropriate that word into that circumstance. we can tell it back to him in prayer, in intercession. Then we are going a little bit more higher when we go intercession. So that is the way we can also use the word. So this man of God began speaking the word. He began speaking the word to God. The Lord had to change that prophecy, even though it was under what we call conditional prophecies. So God changed it. It's not an unconditional one. That Jesus will say that I will go. I think that's in John 14, I think, where he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may also be there. That one is John 14, 1 to 3 or thereabout. That one, no one can change that. He has already said that and he will come back. The evidences are very evident, ladies and gentlemen. So just to encourage you this one, those are the line of thought that I had. So again, the word of God is a spirit. I've already said that. Then the next one is the word of God is also like a lamp. The word of God is a lamp. Okay, let's go to Psalms 119, and that's in verse 109. Let me read that one. So that one says here, Psalm 105, I meant, said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God's word is so powerful that he has this dual function here. Ladies and gentlemen, a lamp unto my feet. That's like a daily walk. Okay, daily walk. He gives us that insight for that daily walk. And then it's a lamp. It's a light unto our path. It's like you having a torchlight. So that's foresight, futuristic foresight. Of course, it also gives insight, hindsight, hindsight, maybe for previous days. But for the daily walk, it's insight. Then it gives that foresight. So that's the dual ministry of the word here on this thing. So if we know that it can sustain me for the day, why wouldn't we want to use it for that day? So I know that every one of us are in different circumstances. I can speak something particularly for my day. Of course, the Lord's Prayer is there. We will notice that food in the Lord's Prayer, I think it's in Matthew 6. The Lord's Prayer there mentioned, give us this day. If you notice, he didn't say many days. It was not for that day. So it was not just for that day. So our walk with the Lord is on a daily basis work. It's daily, on a daily basis. God wants to walk with us on a daily basis. We have to trust him for that particular day. When we get up in the day, as we face our day, we have to trust him for that particular day. Because all our issues, is not the same thing. In our men's fellowship this past Friday, we were just discussing how that everyone has something that bothers them. So, all our fathers were discussing that in our, in the men's prayer, faith clinic, on Friday as his wear. We are just discussing that. So it's because God wants us to depend on him. Everyone has to have something going on with them. There's no one that is completely free of something, even though they are children of God. So that was my own response, because, the servant of God that led us was like, he wanted us to respond to what he thinks. So how come this, that someone must always have something? So, but because we know who we are, we must continue to be a faith people. We are faith people, continually speak the word. That's what we really have. Continue to speak it as we have the faith, the power that worketh in us, and we have that faith build up. Like I said earlier, that the way we build our faith is by hearing it. Faith cometh by another way is, I think it's in Jude verse 20, building up your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. That's another way. That's by prayer. But this particular one, that like as we do in this house, in this beautiful house that we got here, is by listening to God's word. We build our faith by hearing the testimonies of other people. Wow. Can God do it for this person? If God could do it for that brother or for that sister, wow. I want to nurture my faith too. I want to nurture my faith too. So ladies and gentlemen, yesterday I was listening to a man of God, a ministration of a servant of God in Africa.
Satellite, please mute your mic.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So yesterday I was listening to a man of God in Africa. You know, God is raising some remnants in Maiduguri area of Nigeria, Benue State. This man of God was ministering. I was taught that ministration. So it's really true that the word that we hear, faith comes by hearing. I think it's Romans 10:17. Is there faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? That man of God said that someone that was said to be mad in Africa, like when I say someone is mad, maybe insane, the person has lost their sanity, meaning their rationality or something. So that person who used to live in Mina, I was so touched by that administration. He said that that person moved over to Lagos in that insanity. In Nigeria, we call it the person of a turn mad. He said that that person was brought over to his administration in a pastor. He said in a small place he was pastoring in a humble church. He prayed for that person. Under 10 minutes, God revived that person back. That's his sanity and his rationality was restored back. Praise God. That is power. That's faith. Only God knows how that man of God was able to do it. Of course, God allows the operations of the spirit, of the gift of healing, colliding with the gift of miracles or working of miracles and the gift of faith. Those three gifts sometime may happen. Gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of working of miracles. First Corinthians 12, they are all there. So this man of God says, this particular man that lost his insanity eventually gave him a land. You can imagine someone that had lands, but then he ran mad. As it were, that's the word they use. But the person just lost his sanity and his rationality. Wow, my faith rose. I said, wow. So God did this for this person. I was in Mina. The person went back to his own state, his own land that he had. He gave it to the man of God in his ministry. So I said, wow, that caused my faith to rise up, just as it is in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. So ladies and gentlemen, someone testify of what God did for them. That can cause your faith to rise, right? That can cause our faith to rise. I think it's in Psalms 19 where it says that the testimony of God is sure. So hearing testimonies, ladies and gentlemen, is a very big deal in the body ministry, in our faith. To listen to other people speak of what God does for them can really ginger up our faith. Yes, let me see. That's verse 7 of Psalm 19. I think I'm correct. Say, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That testimony of God is sure, making wise the simple. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to hear more testimony. That can be another way that, for us to see the sure hand of God. The testimony of God is sure, making wise the simple. So I just pray that God will let us not be missing out on those testimonies. Someone is testifying of a terrible situation, shameful situation, a situation that could have made someone to break down. To give up, a situation that could have made a family to pack up, a situation that could have made a brother leave a sister, walk away, or a sister walk away in that relationship, a situation that could have made someone to become terrible financially, a situation that could have run someone into a terrible medical situation, maybe a situation that could have made someone go insane or go lose their rationality, but God Almighty can make it to be reversed just by listening to somebody else. Testify of what God did for them can therefore build faith in us, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So those are the things I wanted to just say. Also, the next one is that the word of God is what? The word of God also can sanctify us. That one, I can just quote that one. I think it's in John 17:17. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's notice that every verse that I'm giving must have the phrase the word. And the title of our ministration is what? The power in the word. The power in the word of God. And then let's remember, we are winners and we are not losers. Amen. So it can sanctify us. It can sanctify us because it is truth. Praise the Lord. The word of God can also, can be rightly divided too. The word of God can be useful, rightly divided. It can rightly divide. 2 Timothy 2:15. I don't have to go there. I cited that earlier. Then the next one is that the word of God, the power in the word is so powerful that it can be taught. Let's see that one. That one is in Matthew 5. Jesus taught them, saying he began teaching the word. He separated the multitude, disciples from the multitude, and started teaching them. That's in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, let me see. Okay. The Bible says here in Matthew 5, it says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Okay. And then the Bible says in verse 2, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, okay, of course, this is the typical beatitude chapter here. You know. So he began teaching them those beatitudes. So the word of God can be taught also because there is power in it. So next one is that the word of God, you know, the word of Lord God can remove. It's not by our own power. It's not by our own might, but by the Spirit of God. That one, I can just quote that one. It's in Zechariah 4 verse 6. The word of God is so powerful that it's not by my might. It's not by my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. By my Spirit, God's word is his Spirit also. My Spirit says the Lord. The word God says is superior to what I'm thinking, to what I'm feeling, to what I'm experiencing. So we need more to speak it into those situations that we are going through. In our prayer moment, in our intercessory moment, we can be speaking it just like Ezekiel did. Speak it back to the owner of it. Speak it back to him. And then God had to reverse, you know. God gave the prophecy back again to Isaiah. Go back and tell him again. And then he had 15 more years of his life extended. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had more life, you know, more years added to his life. So that's what the word can do to you and to myself. So God can, we can speak it to him, and Lord, we can reverse that situation, because the word that he speak, it will not return unto him void. The word doesn't return unto God void. It must accomplish the purpose for which he sends it. I think it's in Isaiah 55 or so. I think it's in Isaiah 55. Somewhere there in Isaiah 55, the word of God is not void. It will not go void. The word that I speak to not return unto me void, but it must accomplish the purpose whereunto I have sent it. Let me see so I can begin to wrap up. It's in Isaiah 55. That correct? 65. Okay, yes, 11, yes. So, let me read that one. It says, yes, so then, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall not return unto me void, yes. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing therein whereto I sent it. So whenever God speaks something, because his word is himself, is that he's releasing part of himself and release it. He must the word God say. That's why it is established in heaven. No, it's settled in heaven, but we have to establish in our heart so we can use it. Since we are in this plane, we are on this planet, we have to use it. We have to know who we are and whose we are and continually use it. I just pray I will continue to, you know, refresh our heart, reflect more on these things, that we got the power. We got the power. We got it in the word. We got it by the word. When we speak it, those situations must respond. Again, like I said, some people maybe might take 6 weeks, 1 month, 6 months, 1 year, based according to the power that works in them, based on how they have raised, how they have cultivated their faith in them as they believe and trust God. The more they speak it, it must be what God says. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the word of God also, in John 5:39, it gives eternal life. We don't have to go there. It gives eternal life in John 5:39. And then next also, the word of God also, you know, it offers faith. I've already cited that one in Romans 10:17. And then the word of God makes us to overcome. Let me open to that one. Revelations 12:11. I think it says that they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Okay? By the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So we can see that's the one thing that God is assuring us, that we will overcome. We are overcomers. Because this is the faith that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Right? But then how do we build the faith? It's by hearing God's word. There is no how we can detach ourselves away, ladies and gentlemen, from God's word. We need it every moment, every hour, for our daily use, like I said, and then for futuristic. I just pray that God will make us to always, use the power that we have in every circumstance and situations, and they must respond, because we got the superior power, the power of God that worketh in us, and that's the word of God that we got in us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So as I begin to wrap up, we can also consider Deuteronomy 18:22, the word of God must come to pass. Let me see that one. God's word will come to pass. It must come to pass because God said it means what he is saying, and he's saying what he means. Amen. I like that. I first heard that in a courtroom. It's a mean what you say and say what you mean. So it's one of the Americans, judge that used to use that word. Say, mean what you say and say what you mean. That is God for us, ladies and gentlemen. He means what he says and he's saying what he means. Okay. Let me see. If you look at in Deuteronomy 18:22 says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the things come not, if the things follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Thou shalt not be afraid of him here means respect him. Respect, because God doesn't want us to fear people. We want to have the fear of God, reverential, not the fear of a human being. Because we are not, if you fear somebody, it's like fear is not what we have to suffer of fearing somebody, but we can give them reference. We can respect them, but rather the reverential fear of God is what really matters. I think it's in Hebrews 12:28. That's the one that is preferred to just fearing a human being for the sake of being a human being. No, we are not, nobody should put a fear in our hearts, no matter who they are and who they are. But God Almighty is who I want to fear. So now in this case, if a prophet prophesies and it doesn't come to pass, it is not from God. That's what this verse is saying. Because God's word, according to what we have already looked at in Isaiah 55:11, it must be what God says. Whether it comes prophetically in a prophetic utterance, it must be what he says. So again, prophecy can be, you know, it can be, conditional or unconditional, but then it must come true. God can override what he says. If it is conditional, he can override it, as in the case of Hezekiah, can change it. And then if it's unconditional, that one must be what he says it is. Exactly the way it says he wants it to be, like the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That one is unconditional. Nothing can change that one. So the bride just have to be, the bride make it herself ready. The bride must be ready because the Lord is coming. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So as I begin to wrap up, I already cited Deuteronomy. Then I will go quickly to wrap up in Psalms 119:18. I've already said that already, that God's word is settled in heaven, but it's needed for use on earth. I cited that already. Psalms 119:89. It is settled in heaven, but it's needed here on earth for us to use. So now, the next thing I want to speak about is the things that we do with God's word. Let's just review some of them. The first one is we have to verify God's word. 2 Chronicles 6:17. We have to verify it. Whatever someone says, that is the nobility part of our life as believers, because we are a student of the spirit. Praise God. So we always have to verify. Even everything I'm saying here today, ladies and gentlemen, if I quote something wrong, if it's not intentional, forgive me, please. But I must say what the Bible says. That is in 2 Chronicles 6:17. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. So ladies and gentlemen, what has God said to you and what has God said to me? Can you verify it again? Sometimes God might wake somebody up to look at a verse. Some people have that experience, those encounters. You wake up a verse that you probably don't know before. God say, have you considered this verse? It might be an impression, something like, okay, maybe God is saying that because of this current situation that one might be in. So then one can go in and verify, wow, this is not, what is this? What is speaking to my heart? God is speaking to my heart to look at this thing. Maybe there's a reason why God is saying that thing, for somebody to consider that verse. You know, like I was saying, I think I've said it before. For me, in the first week of 2023, that first week, you know, between the first 7 days, a verse that I've never seen before in my life in the scriptures, God referred me to it. I woke up. That's the verse I was asked to look at. Saying, hey, okay. Maybe that's what God want me to work on in my life. He said, look at this verse. I want you to look at this verse. I have not recovered, ladies and gentlemen, up to this. We are already in 2025. Every day I must think about that thing. There was three things why my Father in heaven, the Spirit of God that knows all things. See, look at this. I want you to look at this. I say, yes, sir. And since then I've been looking. Make sure I go back and verify it. And it has really affected my life tremendously. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the next thing we can also do next with God's word is that we can search it. That one, I don't need to go there. If you look at John 5:39, he said that we should search the scriptures. We can search. After verifying, we can search. Because in it, we think that we have eternal life. They are they which testify of Jesus. So that's another thing we can do with God's word. We can also publish the word of God, Psalm 68:11. We don't have to go there, 68:11. Next, we can meditate on God's word. Look at Joshua 1:8. Meditate. Let's look at these key words. Meditate on it. So under this subject here was the things we can do with the word. If we therefore know the power we got, then those things we can do. We can verify, we can search. Okay. I gave the verses for searching. Then we can, for searching was John 5:39. I believe I also added Acts 17:11. That one, please, I would like to go to that one. Because that is what I meant by our nobility as student of the scriptures. Let me see. It's in Acts 17:11. Let me say, this we are more noble, okay? Meaning the believers in Thessalonica. The believers in Bereans. I mean, Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Let me say, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. If you consider the phrase all readiness of mind, and then the Bible says, and they search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So that is the way we have to grow, you know, as a student of the scriptures. So for me, there is something that I also got in my, you know, looking at the, thinking about God this week. Do you know that the power, as I was thinking about this ministration, the power in the word is more than just science. If a small child take the word of God and believe it and act on it, it will be exactly what God intended. Just like it is in Isaiah 55:11. No matter who that person is across the lifespan, let it be a child. If a child can know, Daddy, I believe what the Bible says. I believe what God says in his word. And he thinks about it. God will fulfill it in the heart of, in the life of that child. 7-year-old. Let the person be a 70-year-old. It doesn't matter. That is because the word of God is similar, you know, is valid, is reliable. The reliability of the word, the validity of the word is applicable to anyone across the lifespan. It's not just for our older parents. It's not for a teenager. A baby can see it. It's 5 years that is already talking, can speak it. It will work just like it will work for a teenager, just like it will work for a full blown adult, 40-year-old or like a older people. 80. That is the validity of the word that we got, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reliability of God's word. So I just pray that God will make us to always know who we are and whose we are when it comes to handling the word. We got the power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So next is that the word of God can be received. James 1:21. Let me look at that one. James 1:21. We can receive it. We can receive it. You know, after we receive with the readiness of mind, and we can look into it. The Bible says we can receive it. Let me see. It says here in James 1:21 that wherefore lay apart all filthiness, okay, and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness receive with meekness, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. We can see the word receive. We can receive it. So like I said, no matter who is saying it, I can have the faith and receive it from them. And it will be put to use. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that's one thing we can do. We can reference it. We can reference the word. Look at Isaiah 61, 1 to 3 was referenced by Jesus in Luke 8, 18 to 19. I don't have to go to those ones. Exactly what is written in Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. Jesus is referencing Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. In which he said that the Spirit of God is upon him. I think that's what chapter is saying. That he has sent him to open the prison doors to those that are bound, to heal the sick. Do you know that if you and I key in, that's what we mean in theological explanations. If a particular word of God was for a particular person, if you believe it and you key in, that's what they mean by I key in into this verse. God will honor it. Praise God. Because when that place was written, Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, that prophecy is for Jesus, as he cited it in Luke 4, 18 to 19. But you too can believe it. Do you and I need the Spirit of God? Yes. All those things that Jesus was doing, didn't he say greater works than this shall you do? So you and I, too, ladies and gentlemen, we can believe what Isaiah 61 say, even though it was for Jesus. Praise God. It's like when the prophecy came in the scriptures and they say a virgin shall conceive. Did they mention anybody's name? No. Okay. There is two places in Psalms that was said, my own household will hate me. That was referring to Judah, right? His name in Psalms was not mentioned. So ladies and gentlemen, we must learn to be people of the Spirit. To key in into what God says in his word and then apply it unto ourselves. If it's not particularly for somebody, the one that I cited in Isaiah 34, what Ezekiah, that prophecy was for him, particularly for him. The man of God faced the wall and prayed, and God changed it. So but if it's just spoken, a name was not mentioned. They didn't mention Mary's name, but Mary was a virgin. Praise God. That's the lineage our Lord Jesus Christ came through. So it is being said, they said that she was a teenager. I did not even realize, 19. I just had that, is this true? Somebody was mentioning that, 19. I say, wow, that is very serious. Something I have to look more to see. So, because some Jewish people said that, yeah, according to the Jews, they say she was 19 years old. So ladies and gentlemen, when the word of God is coming, no name is mentioned, it's for you, it's for me. We need to take it the way God sees it and believe it, and it will work for you and it will work for me. In the name of Jesus. So that is another thing we can do. And then we can also read it. I cited that already. 1 Timothy 4:13. We can read the word. So as I close now, various, impression of people that have the word of God is that they can experience it. I've already said that already. And those experiences are all different for every one of us, depending on the level of faith that we have in us. And also, that's all what it is. And also, the word of God are also... The impression is that it gives knowledge. Isaiah 55 verse 13. That's why we need it. If you don't read it, we can go into captivity. If you don't read it and know it, one can perish. That's in Isaiah 4:6. I would like to look at those two. Let me look at those two. Again, in this final section, this is my last session of this ministration, is the impression what we that read the word of God thinks it should be doing for us. And if you don't do it, this is what will happen. Okay, not in this other one that I said. The thing that we do with God's word, we verify, we search, we publish, we meditate on it, we receive it, we apply it. I mentioned that, and then we reference it like Jesus did. We read it. That is okay. But this particular set, as I close here now, is the one that we can actually take that word and begin to do with it. If we don't do it, one can run into big trouble. Let's see those one as I close. Isaiah 5:13. I would like to read it. It says here, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are vanished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. So we need the knowledge of the word. You will see the knowledge of the word a lot appear in the New Testament. That is simply God's word, growing in him, becoming more intimate with him. Knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the word, a lot in the apostolic by Apostle Peter. and that I will grow into the knowledge of God. That is simply what it is, God's word. It appears a lot in the apostles, in the epistles. So when we see that, that simply means our intimacy in the Lord, knowledge of the word. So let me go to Isaiah 4, verse 6. That one says, my people have perished for lack of knowledge. Let me, 4:6. So, okay. It says here, for my people are destroyed. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Okay. I will reject thee that thou shall be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Do you see that? So again, this last few ones is the thing that will happen to us if we don't go for the word, if we don't take it as it were, if we don't use it. These are the things that will happen. And I pray that I will not be destroyed. I will not run into captivity because we will not forsake the law of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the next thing is that the word of God gives us wisdom. That one is in Matthew 7:24. We don't have to go there. It gives us wisdom. Because information of the word is just information. If we take the word of God that we understand, if we can understand the information of the word that we have, it becomes understanding, right? Daniel, I think it's in Daniel 12:10 or thereabout, where it says, the wise shall understand. Now, when we now understand and we now apply it, that apply word of God that we understood become wisdom. Praise God. So that is why in the world, Many months ago, I was telling my children, I said, we were just discussing the scriptures. I said, in the world, knowledge gives people power in the world. But those of us in the kingdom, knowledge is wisdom. Praise God. Knowledge is wisdom because we have now taken, we have gone past just having it as an information. We now understand. We have now applied because wisdom is applied knowledge. Amen. So that's why in the kingdom, God's word is wisdom to us, but in the world, the more things you know, the more things you know, for them is power. Praise God. So when I said that, my children were like, wow, it's just something for them to think about. So that is that. So next one, as I close with it, we can pray God's word. I don't want to give those verses. We can pray them. Job 22, verse 27. I will decree a thing and it shall be so. I think that's what he's saying in that verse. We can decree the word, decree into our lives. And God will honor it in the name of Jesus. Let me see. That would be creating. And it will come to pass. As Job 22. I'm almost ending. I have about two more points and I'll be done. Job 22 verse. Let me see. That's verse. 26 and 27. 27 and 28, it says, thou shalt make thy prayer unto me, and ye shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Okay, 28, for thou also shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. So we can see we can decree a thing. What are we using to decree a thing is God's word. We are not just using mere words. That is that because the word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So in the realm of the spirit, when we speak it, that's what God will capture in the archives of the heavens. He will capture it, you know. So when we decree, we are not just decreeing with just mere words. We are using God's word, the scripture. You know, Daddy Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory wrote in one of his books that when we are going through certain situations, look for verses in the scriptures. The man of God is of a blessed memory. He has already gone for his reward. Then look for verses that is relevant to those specific situations and be speaking it to God. Again, like I said, you are speaking what his word back to him. Continue to speak it. Yes. Yeah. Continue to speak it. Each time we are in prayer, Lord, this particular situation, whether we are emotional, it doesn't matter. We just cry it out to him. We continue to speak it to the Lord. We continue to speak it. Lord, this is what your word said. It's like you going before a courtroom. You go before a courtroom. Let me give us a practical example. Many years ago, when I wedded my wife, I left her in Nigeria and I came here, you know, rushing between going to work and do this. I went to go through the city of Scottsdale. I will say about this one because this is a very good one. When we are taking God's word and telling it back to God, because in the courtroom, that's what I said to the judge, and he freed me. So now, I was driving. I got a ticket. I went to, it was at night walk, rushing back home and whatever, rushing. I was driving and I went to through Scottsdale City. In Scottsdale, up to this day, they still have their cameras on everywhere. So now this parked vehicle flashed my car. Say, wow. So now I now got a ticket sent to me. And you know that in America, if you have a ticket, I think I may be wrong. You have to go to the city, that particular city, appear in their court if you don't want to send them their money or whatever. You know. So what happened is that I now went to the court. I read some things. Some people say you can tell a judge that he should defer that case. Okay. Now I now went to court, and then my wife had already come. So I said, let's go together. She went with me. So she could testify. In fact, we just referred to it. We were just laughing the other day. We referred to it again. So now I went to the court. And the judge said, the judge, it was a female judge, he now said, is that your picture? And I said, yes, I didn't deny. Say, okay. And now after I said, he said, you have anything to say? I said, yes. I said, Honor, Your Honor, can this be deferred for 1 year? Can this be deferred for 1 year? And I paused. She said, yes. Deferment means that what? Okay, you can go and drive for a year. If you don't have any ticket, you come back to this court, they will remove it. Wow. I read about that. I just said it to the judge, and the judge said, okay, this put it on you for that moment. They won't put it on you. They will devour it. So I now went, I drove for a year, no ticket anywhere. And then I set up I don't know whether it was an appointment. I don't know how I got to do. I called the court clerk and they set me up. I came back to the judge again. She was the same one there. Then she said, you can go. So they dropped it. So the same way it is, ladies and gentlemen, to God's word. God owns his own word. If he's speaking to him, it's like in the court of heaven, he's bound by what he's saying. It must be exactly, but you have to have the faith for it. I just pray that Almighty God will let us to know these things and it will help us in Jesus' name. So again, that was for prayer. We can use it for prayer. We can use God's word for warfare. I will not go to those verses. It's Ephesians 6:10-18. Also 1 Corinthians 10:4-6. We can use it for warfare. Those are the two verses in the scriptures. Ephesians 6:10-18. Meaning we can wear those armor and use the word of God for warfare. And then also 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 4-6. Then in closing, I will close with this one. God's word, we can use it to love each other. That will be my last verse. Let's go to that one. Let's go to that one. 1 John 4 verse 4. That's my last. 1 John 4 verse 8. That's my last verse. And I will close. I went past my time a little bit. So 1 John 4 verse 8. The word of God that we know in the scriptures is how we are going to use to love each other. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, the body of Christ, we are in need of love, seriously, to love each other. You know, if we love each other, the devil cannot stand us. God gave me that understanding many, many years ago. Then we are still at the capstone, temple, when the man of God used to cover a lot and preach about love, divine love, and shall rapture the bride and all of that. Then my own understanding of it was that the way I interpreted to understand it better was that if we love each other, the devil cannot stay. The devil is caught. His network cannot stay in this church. So that's the way I got it. And God has used that to brush in my heart a lot over the years. If we genuinely love each other, the devil and his network cannot stay in this church. So that's what I got. So that's in 1 John 4, and that will be my last verse. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 8. Please permit me. Let me read it from 7-8. The Bible says, beloved. Okay, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that love is born of God. Let's remember that how we are born of God is by the word of God. I've already cited that already when I mentioned 1 Peter 1, verse 23. The incorruptible word of God saves us. So therefore, there's no how we cannot do without the word of God. The word of God can help us to love each other more. Because we see those things that the world is asking us to be doing to each other, the way to treat each other, the way to, you know, to relate with each other. So that's what the Bible is saying here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and loveth God. He that loveth not, that was my verse there, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, let me add 9. In this was he manifested. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son, okay, into the world. He sent his only begotten Son into the world. And that he might live through him, that we might live through him. So this whole chapter here, in fact, first, I always say, as I close my Bible, I always say that the book of, first John or first John 2 or 3 or thereabout, has the word love appear the most in the Bible. If you take time to examine it, the word love appears more in the Bible in first John 1, first John 2, first John 3, first John 4, first John 5. All those that Apostle John wrote. Then if you now think of it, I say, maybe that's why is John the Beloved. I always just think the Bible, I say, wow, the word love appeared the most in 1 John by Apostle John. So ladies and gentlemen, so that's the last thing I want to say, that God's word is what we use to love each other. I just pray that God will continue to help us more, and that we genuinely love each other more with love unfeigned, love unfeigned. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These are the things I wanted to share today. The power of the word, and we reviewed also the things that we do with the word, and also the way we apply the word, or if we don't use the word this way, this is what will happen to us. I just pray that God will help us more in this line of thoughts. God bless you for listening. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I will yield my mic. God bless you. Have a beautiful service and a glorious day and a week ahead of you. Stay blessed. Thank you.